April 25th happened to be the 42nd anniversary of the miracle in the desert of Tabaz in east-central Iran that dashed all American hopes of superiority when the great Satan tried to launch a surprise attack on the nascent Islamic Republic through a well-planned operation codenamed Eagle Claw. In the dead of night, while the unsuspecting Iranian people were asleep with complete trust in the protective power of God Almighty, in obedience to whom they had staged the Islamic Revolution to overthrow the British-installed Pahlavi regime and kick out the American hegemons from their sacred soil, President Jimmy Carter made the self-destructive move to try to reclaim control of Iran through the highly trained Delta Force. A total of 8 U.S. Navy RH-53D helicopters took off from the aircraft carrier Nimitz, which was positioned in the Arabian Sea and were joined by 6 C-130 Hercules aircraft that had been stationed at a military base in Oman to land on a remote airstrip some 350 kilometers from Tehran for the final swoop on the Iranian capital to capture or kill the Iranian leadership with the help of some turncoats and free the 52 detained American spies. God Almighty is the best of planners, and he decided to show a glimpse of his signs when he decreed particles of sand to rise as high as 10,000 feet in the air in the form of a dense white cloud, swirling, whirling, and twirling around an airborne U.S. invasion force to reduce machines to wreckage and their crew to charred bodies. Thus, April 25th is a Thanksgiving day for Iran and the Iranian people. Today, when the U.S. is suffering all sorts of defeats throughout the world, we are indeed grateful to the Almighty for preserving the power and prestige of the Islamic Republic. We thank God for helping us to achieve peace, stability, honor, dignity, independence, self-sufficiency, industrial progress, scientific breakthrough, technological development, and above all, the moral and ethical advancement in Iran. We also express our gratitude in the Divine Court for having inspired the people in the region and beyond to assert their independence and strive for the welfare of their respective nations, as well as the collective dignity of Islam and Muslims, as is evident by the developments of the past 4 decades. Examples galore, such as infusing of the spirit of Intifada in the Palestinian people, the rise of the legendary anti-terrorist movement Hezbollah in Lebanon, the victory of the people of Syria over the most macabrely murderous terrorist, the establishment of independent Iraq, the emergence of the popular Ansarullah movement in Yemen, the awakening of the long-oppressed people of Bahrain, and last but not the least, the resurgence of the Nigerian people led by Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki. Many more freedom movements are in the embryonic stage and will definitely triumph in the near future, thanks to divine assistance in the permanent decline of the American eagle and, consequently, the impending doom awaiting all other vultures preying on oppressed people.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today, as usual, is our dear friend Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today we have a very important theological question. Many people, they sort of question this whole story of Adam and Hawa, alayhum as-salam, Adam and Eve in English, about how logical it actually is if you sit and think about it. Because we believe, because they say that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, He threw Adam out of paradise because he ate one single apple. And then he says to Adam, or to the human, or humankind at all, I will then send after you 124,000 prophets to try and get you back again to heaven, to paradise. Is that really logical if you actually think about it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This question is based on two presuppositions. The first one is that had not Adam eaten from that fruit, be it apple or anything else, he and Eve would have been remained in paradise.
Right.
This is the first presumption. And the second presumption is that that paradise was the eternal paradise.
Right.
And both of them are wrong. So first of all, whether Adam and Eve, they ate from that fruit or not, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was them to live on the earth. And there are a couple of verses which prove that. So even if they did not eat that apple, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was for them to come to the earth and live on the earth. So that place was only a temporary place for them to live. So to think that they were going to continue living in paradise if they didn't eat from that fruit, this is a wrong understanding of the story. Now, there are, as I mentioned, a couple of verses proving this point. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that before creating Adam, إِنِّي جَعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I'm going to put a caliph, a vicegerent, whatever, on the earth.
On earth.
On earth.
Right.
Not so in paradise.
That's what was created.
Yeah. So this is very clear from this verse that from the beginning, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to create human being on the earth. And that place was only,
a temporary residence.
Place just for teaching Adam some issues. In chapter Baqarah, when the story is also mentioned, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names, and then according to some narrations, the names were related to this world, the names of different places, different items, different fruits, and so on and so forth. To tell the angels that he has all the capabilities to become the caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. Now, the divine test was that for Adam and Eve to stay for a short time on that place, which we will prove that this was not, that was not the eternal paradise, to know more about their enemies on the earth. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما. We said to Adam that you may leave you and your wife in this garden. You may eat anything, but ولا تقرب هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. You shouldn't approach that tree. Now this verse has another message that يا آدم أو آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة. Only you and your wife stay in this Jannah. Let's imagine that it was the eternal paradise. Of course, this is wrong, but let's imagine.
Right, let's just presume.
Yeah. It was only meant for Adam and his wife, not for other human beings. So we shouldn't think that if they didn't eat from that tree, now we were living in that Jannah. No. Allah says that only you and your wife are going to stay in this Jannah, not other people.
Right.
So, again, the next point is that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust, so he cannot punish us for, if we may call it, an act of disobedience which was committed by Adam and Eve. It is against the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first point. We shouldn't think that had Adam and Eve had not eaten from that tree, they were going to stay in that place
forever.
Right. No, they were meant to live on the earth. This is the first point. The second presumption of this question is that that garden, that Jannah, was the eternal heaven. And again, if they didn't eat from that tree, from that fruit, now we were in the eternal paradise. This is wrong. And there are a couple of points which prove that it was only a garden. And according to many scholars, it was a garden maybe in this world.
Perhaps even on earth.
On earth. Right. And not, for sure it was not the eternal paradise. Why? There are many points that prove that. First of all, according to verses of the Quran and the narrations, Satan has no way to go to the eternal heaven. But according to this story, Satan was able to enter that garden
and talk to them and deceive them
as well.
Right.
So it shows us it shows that it couldn't be the eternal heaven.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. Second of all, the eternal heaven, the name is telling us that this is eternal. Whoever enters that, then
right.
he will be there, or she will be there forever.
The concept of khulud.
Exactly.
Right.
There is no exit from that. The next point is that the eternal heaven is given because of the fact that you have done something good. You have been a righteous person. But Adam and Eve, they had not done anything to have this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this shows that this cannot be the eternal heaven.
Right.
The next point is that according to some stories and some narrations, Satan deceived Adam by saying that if you eat from this tree, then you will be eternal. So it means that Adam knew that he will not going to stay there eternally. So he was looking for a way for being there eternally.
Right.
Again, it is showing that this cannot be the eternal heaven, and that is why he was deceived.
Right.
This had been mentioned in some narrations from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. For example, it was asked from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about that Jannah of Adam. He said that that was one of the gardens of this world, which had the sun and moon. And had it been the eternal heaven, then Adam could not exit from that.
So the Imam alayhi salam, he actually says that this garden was on earth.
Yeah. So the point is that to begin with, we were not supposed to stay in that eternal heaven. Neither Adam and Eve were staying in that eternal heaven. It was only, a garden for them to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be taught by God, for them to know their real enemy, who was right. Satan, so that when they come to the earth and they live on the earth, they know more about their real enemies.
So it was a lesson.
It was a lesson. So I think having said that, the answer to this question is clear. It was not the eternal heaven, so that the questioner may say that we were there and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled Adam and Eve and then sends 124,000 for us just to come right. back there. No, we were not there. Adam and Eve were not there. Then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all these many prophets? It is another story and another discussion of the right. philosophy of sending the prophets and the imams. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve from the beginning to live on the earth. And the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires that if he is creating human beings, and the wisdom requires that he needs to send the guides for the human beings.
Of course.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Book of Quran that when min ummatin illa khala fiha nadir, for all the nations we have sent a warner. Someone.
A prophet.
A prophet or a vicegerent of a prophet, any kind of warner to tell them about God. So this is just to put it in a nutshell, the whole philosophy of sending the prophets. So as human beings, we are in need of some guides from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the right path. The history of human beings has shown that the intellect is not enough for guiding the people toward the right path.
Right.
We are in need of all these 124,000 prophets to show us the right path. And they are going to lead us to go to that eternal heaven. So we were not living in that eternal heaven. Adam and Eve also, they were not living in that eternal heaven.
Right.
And that is why, as I mentioned, the basis of the question is wrong, to say that if they didn't eat from the tree, they were there, and now we were there. No, they were not in that eternal heaven.
In the first place.
And second of all, they were meant to live on the earth too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to live on the earth. Even if they didn't eat from that fruit, they were going to come and live on this planet earth.
So, dear Sheikh, they ate from the fruit, and as a consequence, they were kicked out, thrown out of this garden, whether it be on earth or someplace else. But is it a sin that they ate from this fruit? Because Adam is a prophet, he is infallible. So did he sin by eating from this fruit?
There is a disagreement among the scholars, and mainly the Shia and Sunni scholars. The Sunni scholars mainly believe that it was a sin committed by Adam. The Shia scholars believe that no, we believe that the prophets are free from any kind of sins, even before the prophethood, and it was tarke aula, which means that living what is preferred. Why Shia scholars consider it as a tarke aula and not a sin, I think we may discuss it in another session.
Well, because we do not have enough time for today, I would like to thank the dear Sheikh for answering this misconception and for clarifying it for our listeners.
My pleasure.
I would also like to thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة الْجَنَّةِ نَارًا مِنْ لَبَنٍ لِعَلِيٍّ وَحُسَيْنٍ وَحَسَنٍ لِعَلِيٍّ وَحُسَيْنٍ وَحَسَنٍ كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُحِبًّا لَهُمُ كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us reflect on a gem of an advice from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, hailed by his cousin and father-in-law, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the gateway to the city of knowledge. All containers are reduced in capacity by what is placed in them, except a container of knowledge, which expands.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning three millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the US and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
Japanese researchers have developed chopsticks that artificially create the taste of salt. They have done this as part of efforts to reduce high levels of sodium intake in Japan. The utensils look like a typical pair of chopsticks, but with a cable and a mini computer worn on the person's wrist. A mild electrical current transmits sodium ions from food through the chopsticks and into the user's mouth. This enhances the taste of salt, requiring less of it in food to achieve the same good taste.
To prevent severe lifestyle-related diseases or to prevent these diseases altogether, we need to reduce the amount of salt we take regularly. Japanese people tend to ingest a large amount of salt in their diet. If we try to avoid taking less salt in a conventional way, we would need to endure cutting out our favorite foods from our diet or endure eating bland food.
The chopsticks have already been clinically tested. Participants say the device enhanced salty taste of low-sodium food by roughly 1.5 times. The engineers are currently refining the chopsticks and hope to commercialize the product next year. The product was jointly developed by Meiji University professor Homei Miyashita and a beverage holding company. Miyashita is best known for his creation of a TV screen that can imitate various flavors. How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turn barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for four beats or two beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
The challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurse, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio.
Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Tuesday, is the 24th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to the Holy Quran, verses 29 to 32 of chapter Ar-Rahman.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yas'aluhu man fis samawati wal ard. Kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'n.
Whoever is within the heavens and earth asks him. Every day he is bringing about a matter.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ.
We will attend to you, O prominent beings.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌ سِوَى.
All the preceding blessed verses so far treat to different material and immaterial blessings, but the blessed verse 31 is saying that we shall shortly attend to your records. O jinn and men, God Almighty shall precisely attend to the records of all the deeds, words, and intentions of the jinn and men, and reward and chastisements proportionate to their words, deeds, and intentions shall be apportioned to them. It is also worthy of note that since jinn and men are superior to other creatures and possess intellect, free choice, and distinction, they are being referred to as al-thaghalan. Ramadan, month of du'as. This month is the best for prayer for appearance of Imam Zaman, Hazrat Mahdi, peace be upon him. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Especially its nights, because it's the month of invocations. Hence, traditions have ordered for the same, and thus the significance of reciting du'a iftitah have been underlined in the nights of this month. Do not neglect this supplication, for indeed, it's a noble and comprehensive prayer, encompassing the needs of both this world as well as the hereafter. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, said, "Good deeds are accepted in the month of Ramadan, and the sins are forgiven. One who recites one verse of the Book of Allah in the month of Ramadan will get the reward of reciting a whole Quran in other months." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'in. The culture of awaiting the global savior in the month of Ramadan. And this is the topic of our discussion right now. It's indicated that in all religious disciplines and in all religions, In all regions in the world, whether Abrahamic regions or non-Abrahamic regions, we find that everybody believes in the world, in the global, in the coming and in the emergence of the global savior. This global savior, which has been mentioned in almost all the divine religions, has found expression in Islam in the personality of the 12th infallible Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. As we know, this global savior, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, has long been born in Samarra in Iraq. And Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam has long been in his state of short occultation and then greater occultation. Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is still in his state of greater or longer occultation. However, in this connection, it must be indicated that what may be the relationship between the month Ramadan and waiting for the coming of the global savior. We find that in the month Ramadan, as it's the spring of expressing our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through discharging our religious duties, it's indicated that the best type of results that we find is receiving the religious rewards for our enduring eating and drinking and abstaining from otherworldly pleasures, otherworldly and human pleasures. However, we find that in this connection, the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated that the angels, the divine angels that come down to the infallible Imam every month on the eve of Qadr, they continue to do this in the time of occultation. And this is a sound proof for the existence of an infallible Imam. Had there not been any infallible Imam in this world, and in our case now, the 12th infallible Imam, Al-Mahdi alayhi salam, is present, to whom the divine angels would come down every year on the eve of decree on Laylat al-Qadr. Because of this, we find that since the divine angels come down to the infallible Imam on the eve of decree, it's our duty to appeal to him, that is to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, for our being delivered from all kinds of pressures and agonies and problems. We hope to appreciate this unique opportunity. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Praying for an early reappearance of Hazrat Hujjah, Imam al-Mahdi, peace be upon him, is a kind of rendering help to him, from the aspect that we are encouraged to help the believers and helping the Imam is the best form of help. There is a special dua for this month quoted from the fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and his son, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, which begins as follows. O Allah, this is the month of Ramadan. I ask you to help the vicegerent of Muhammad and the successor of Muhammad and the one who will establish justice from the successors of Muhammad. Your blessings be upon him and them. Bestow your help to them. This tradition proves that praying for the important matter of hastening the reappearance is emphasized on all the times and occasions, just as the month of Ramadan is more emphasized than other months. It is so because it is the best time for acceptance of supplications and gaining the best rewards. And also the angels come down and the doors of mercy and success are thrown open.
Allah, 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 Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar.
They awaited Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special by IRIB English Radio. Humanity's great plight at the present time is a lack of justice. Oppressive systems have brought pressure on humanity and deprived people of their natural rights. Today, this is showing itself more seriously than ever. People ask for and await the reappearance of the promised Imam Mahdi to resolve these. Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, will reappear to liberate people from humiliation. He will reappear to save human community and to save the future of human beings. The reappearance of a Savior who establishes justice is the historic promise of all divine religions and even non-divine religions to mankind. This promise is based on the truth that the historic confrontation between truth and falsehood will end to the advantage of the advocates of truth thanks to the reappearance of the promised Mahdi.
It is only through the remembrance of Allah that our hearts will be at peace. Our hearts will be rest assured. So give your heart, give your soul what it needs. Give your soul what it's craving for, what it's yearning for. Just like your stomach is yearning for food, your soul is yearning for that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your soul is yearning for that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it might not be easy, but your soul needs it. Just as your body needs the food, your soul needs it. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he used to, when during the time of his official khilafah, he used to exhaust himself every day. Every day he used to exhaust himself. During the day, he's working, taking care of people, taking care of the needs of the people, judging between people. And at night, he's spending the whole night in ibadah and worship. So his companions, they come to him, they tell him, "Oh, our Imam, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're going to exhaust yourself. You need to take rest, either sleep during the day or sleep during the night so that you can rest." What does Amir al-Mu'mineen reply? He says, "If I sleep during the day, ضَيَّعْتُ رَعِيَّتِي, I will lose my people who I have to take care of. And if I sleep at night, ضَيَّعْتُ نَفْسِي, if I sleep at night, then I will not be able to nourish my soul and nourish myself." So we have to take advantage of the month of Ramadan.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجلسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن
جلسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.